W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH, the WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
Howdy, howdy, hi. Howdy, howdy, hey. Howdy, howdy, ho. Oh.
Oh.
That's the wrong pot. I was sliding the wrong thing down. That's why it wasn't getting any softer.
Ah.
Like, why is that staying loud? Oh, yeah, because I'm pulling the wrong fader down.
Pulling it down.
It's weird because I am a professionally trained radio DJ. And
are you?
I am.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's good to know.
Yeah, thanks. Licensed by the Federal Communications Commission.
I was too.
Oh yeah, the restricted radio phone license. That's some good pod right there. Talking about that.
Engineer one license.
No.
We had to check the meters and shit too.
Hold on, is that in this show? Me and Siri to talk about that. It's not. I don't know why I didn't put that in the show.
What?
So we're gonna talk about it.
Yeah, let's fucking talk about it right now.
We're gonna talk about it.
Oh,
this is gonna be our little chit chat as we start the show. I saw this and I was like, I had to post it on Facebook and well, this is something. The headline: Couple's MAGA themed wedding pays tribute to President Trump.
All the wedding party had the Make America Great Again hats.
Not the typical uniform for bridesmaids and groomsmen, but Jeff and Audra Johnson's pride in the president isn't something they want overlooked, even on their wedding day.
It looked like America threw up all over my wedding. And I'm not sorry.
Audra Johnson says as a little girl, she never thought about what her wedding would be like. And as an adult, she was never particularly political. That is, until Donald Trump came on the scene.
When he came out and said, you know, it's okay to love your country. It's okay to put the people in your country first. It's okay to maybe not be politically correct.
So they use their wedding to celebrate their love for one another and President Trump.
I really feel like because we are such a mixed family, you know, he's African-American, I'm Filipino. I thought it was really important to show people that the stereotype doesn't, you know, the whole Trump supporters are racist, stuff like that. We both thought it was really important to show that that's wrong.
No details spared, down to the red, white, and blue flower arrangements and manicures, to the custom Make America Great Again reception dress designed by Andre Soriano, a dressmaker famous for his Trump gowns.
It's actually made out of a MAGA flag.
On each reception table, guests could sign the petition for an anti-abortion heartbeat bill. But among the guests, there were a few important faces missing.
Unfortunately, my now husband, his father refused to come. He sent us a text message. It said, as long as you support that racist in the White House, I won't be attending your wedding, which is sad, but we did have a lot of people that loved us and showed up.
Audra says even her brother has disowned her for her strong beliefs.
I think when it's your family, like anybody else can call me anything they want and I don't care. But when it's your family, it really gets to you because it's like, wait a minute, I'm still the same person I was 3 years ago before I started supporting Trump.
Despite the dirty looks about her bumper stickers or comments from people on the internet, Audra says she's keeping her chin up.
And I kind of just live off of that because, you know, if you're, at least if they're talking about it, you're at least getting them to think about it.
Grand Rapids, Atrel Nishar, Fox 17 News.
All right, so let's think about it for a moment.
You're not the You're not a fucking movie star or a business. All publicity is good publicity.
No.
I don't think she realizes that. She's not an influencer on social media.
No. No, she's not.
You know, she's a hero to all those Trump. I mean, like, there's at least, 30% of the population that thinks she's awesome now.
Yeah, it's from Kalamazoo, Michigan. You know, it's your wedding. You can do what you want at your wedding, and that's fine. But the groom's father said his opinion too. If that's the way you're going to be about things, I'm not coming to your wedding. And her brother has disowned her. So
that should have been
clearly it, and that goes beyond, oh, hey, I went into the voting booth and voted for Trump and I'll do it again. It goes beyond that because I don't know too many people who are just going to disown you if that's all you said. If that's all you ever said was, you know, I think Donald Trump is a better choice than Hillary Clinton. And then you said, you know what, I think Donald Trump has done a good job and I'm going to vote for him again in 2020. I don't think anyone in your family is going to disown you for that. There may be exceptions, but I think if those are your statements and that's how you're living your life and that's how you really feel, I don't think anyone is going to be that strong about it. But that's not what she's doing. And that's made very clear by how she's conducted this wedding. And she's got people signing petitions for this heartbeat abortion bill on the tables. And there's a photo of her in her MAGA dress holding some sort of assault rifle. I don't know what model it is. So for all the people who love guns enough to go, well, that's not an assault rifle. That's a blah, 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 blah. You know, it's a rifle.
It's a rifle.
It's a rifle, and it's not a hunting rifle.
It's a rifle that she's going to kill her husband with, or he's going to kill her with.
It's a rifle for hunting people, is what it is. That's the only hunting you do with that.
It's the rifle that she's going to kill her husband with, or he's going to kill her with.
And
what kind of pansy-ass, punk-ass, bitch-ass is he that you would have a wedding that your father would not come to and you'd be okay with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you should interview him and his dad.
Oh, that's true. You should. That'd be great for your documentary career.
Yes. Like, what kind of bitch ass are you?
What the fuck happened here?
Right.
Go back to the picture.
He's white presenting, I think. He's like.
It was a video, so it went to the next story. So let me see if I can refresh it and we can take a look back at that. So I don't know who the Marine private is in this whole thing. I don't know if that's the groom.
That's the groom.
Is?
Yeah.
Okay. He looks as black as she looks Filipino.
There was a lot of talk about how
racially diverse they were. And I'm like, they look as white as you and I do, Jason.
He's a Marine private from... He's a Marine private getting married.
Right.
That tells you how fucking smart he is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, really, that there's a lot to be said about what you just said right there. Yes. Because not only is he a Marine.
Now the capper on the story was, she said if she were invited to a President Barack Obama themed wedding, she would happily attend. Do you know anybody? Did you ever hear about anybody having a Barack Obama themed wedding?
No.
I mean, my wife did. It was all gold and black.
Oh my God.
So there's a survey here. A Michigan couple had a Make America Great Again themed wedding on Independence Day, featuring the wedding dress made from a MAGA flag and other details in support of President Trump. Do you think you'd like to be invited to a wedding like this? The answer is yes, absolutely. I'd be okay with it. No, definitely not.
No.
Or no opinion. So we'll vote no, definitely not. Let's see how this comes out.
Let's see how it comes out.
You guys think, what do you think is going to win this one?
Everybody sucks. Everybody's a monster.
Now, this is Fox 8 in Cleveland. So this is Cleveland.
Yeah. So it's fucking, yeah.
What do you think is going to have the most votes? Because if I click it, we're going to get the results.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Oh, it didn't give me the answer, you sons of bitches. Oh. Screw you, Fox 8 Cleveland.
Wait, what?
It did not give us an answer. It just went to another question about what do you think? Which of the following best describes your experience with smart home integration? Yeah, okay, I've never heard of these. What age group do you belong to? You know, I'm going to say 65 and older and female. I'm an old lady. No, definitely not. Came in at 51%.
Oh, good.
Yes, absolutely. Came in second at 30. I'd be okay with it at 14. And 5% of the people have no opinion. Which, if you have no opinion, why are you answering this question?
Yeah. Why did you just answer all those questions? Those are the ones that still can't even admit to themselves that they're just, right? I know he's a racist. And I know it makes me a racist. I have to have no opinion.
Yeah, it's very strange. All right, let's get to this.
And now it's time for the airing of the f***ing grievances.
All right, let's start with you, Kareem. What's pissing you off aside from the lady parking in front of your house?
It is Madden season.
Benji Madden from Fallout Boy?
No.
Oh.
NFL Madden
season. Okay.
Which is maddening because the motherfucker who does the ratings obviously does not watch fucking football.
Okay, so let me guess before you go on. Are some of your beloved Steelers rated lower than you think they should be?
Not my Steelers.
Okay, yes.
Some of my Steelers are too, but Richard Sherman has a 93 rating.
Well, sure. It's throwback Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman has a 93 rating. That's all I need to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose mentally.
Mentally.
I'm just saying. Okay.
So.
I remember when I had time to play video games.
Oh, man.
That's right. Now you're married with kid and a new business.
I may have to bring my PS4 here to the business in order to have time to play something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad.
What'd you do today at work? Oh, I played PS4. What? Yeah, no. Rent's due. I ain't got time for that shit. Got to hustle business up.
Yeah. But every year it's the same bullshit. And even the people that they increase their ratings, like at the end of the last season or as the season go by, they end up with their ratings back at what they were the season before. So I'm like, what the fuck are you watching, doing? Like, do y'all just put reset in like the next season and just not change them? And they tried to say that they have a 23-year-old doing the ratings.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck. Like, he's not old enough to know shit about how fast anybody runs on the football field. So that's my rant. I hate the Madden ratings. Actually, it's all of the EA Sports ratings end up being kind of who they project to be, such and such.
Sure.
And you end up with a player that's actually playing really well in the league with like a 72 rating, and he's playing like he's an all pro in the league.
Mm.
So,
but don't they do like midseason updates and stuff like that though?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that midseason update that they made for last year, it doesn't always translate to the next season.
Ah, I see.
So if you were at a 72, if you went from a 72 at the beginning of the last season to an 81 at the middle of last season, by the end of the season,
preposterous.
They put you back at a 72 for the next season.
All right, Jason, what's upsetting you today?
Oh, man.
I figured I'd do something a little lighter than I know.
No, I appreciate that.
So I just had one of those days. So on Saturday was an amazing day. I already talked about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I did have two incidences that, like, almost three, that really kind of upset me. First one was... I don't know why the Cinemark or the Century Doco movie theater like is the worst when it comes to service and getting your food or your drinks or whatever.
Oh, you need to go like on Sunday morning.
Like I went on Saturday morning to the first showing.
Oh.
And they were fucking ridiculous. Like,
it must be something about you, because when me and Alex went, the service was great.
At Doco? Oh, man.
Yeah, I've never had a problem at Doco.
Every single fucking time, I always end up picking the wrong line, and it takes way too long. And, like, so anyhow, so, like, the service kind of is shitty. Like, and here's the thing. I worked in a movie theater for years. So the number one thing that you know, like, when you're working in a movie theater is that you have a runner. You have a person that does register, and you have another person that's the runner. That person gets the drink. That's the person that, or you'll get the drink because you're getting the order, and then they'll get the popcorn and the candy or whatever else that needs to get done. Or they might help you with the drinks, whatever. But there's a runner to help the person at the register. They never do it. They never have that there. Or at least the person I'm talking to always, they're always doing it to. Anyhow, it's just fucking ridiculous. Each person's getting their own order.
Jason was so upset. This was him at the movie theater.
Oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay.
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites.
Okay, all right. So not a big, I mean, like, you know, so, yeah. And I was, I mean, maybe I'm the dick there in that situation. I had forgotten my, in another situation where maybe I'm the dick a little bit also, but, I had forgotten my, my validation card from our parking, right. In the car.
Sure.
So, I went up to the concierge desk or the person that works at the customer service desk, and I said, my ticket my parking validation left it in my car. Do I need to go get that? She looked at me and she's like, oh, you have your ticket, right? And I was like, yeah, I have my ticket. She's like, oh, all you need is your ticket. You'll be fine. And I was like, oh, I really? And she's like, yeah, you'll be fine. So I go down there, and then fast forward 5 minutes later where this woman comes up and is like, no, you just have to pay. But the woman told me up there that, well, they don't work for us. No, but you're part of the same, like, you're the parking garage for there. So, like, I went to the movie, and she's like, I don't care. You need to pay your money. And
are you sure you don't live in Roseville?
And I was like, well, I think it might have been because I was a white guy.
He sounds like everybody who comes in from the suburbs into the city and is like, why don't things in the city work right?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, like,
not that I didn't do them right, is why come they don't work right?
So, but here's the thing, though, is it pissed me off that the person upstairs that works at the fucking location told me that it was fine. You know what I mean? Like, I would have happily I would have begrudgingly went and gotten my card for my car and come back up and do that. But now I'm sitting at the thing and I can't do anything about it. Like, now I'd have to, there's a car behind me. They've been waiting because I've had to wait for this person to come out there to come, you know, because it's automated.
To be fair, you could have put your car in park, gotten out of your car, walked up, validated your ticket, and come back down.
I should have just parked it right there and said, sorry, I need to go validate my ticket, everybody.
Oh, you're right. I got to go validate my ticket.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I should have done that. That would have been fucking classic.
Such a dick move.
Yeah, but it would have been awesome, though, because then I'm just doing what she told me to do.
Exactly.
Because she's being a dick.
You get out of the car. She'd be like, where are you going? You'd be like, I'm going to get this validated.
Yeah.
That would have been the end of it. She would have put you through just to not deal with everybody behind you.
And she would have said, I'm going to tow you. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'll be back before the tow truck gets here.
And before it gets me out, that's fine. So that was the second thing. And I realized that it's partially my fault because I forgot my ticket. But at the same time, like, she didn't need to be a jerk about it. Like, she could have definitely pushed me through and taken my ticket. I know for a fact that she could have done it. I used to work for ABM Parking. I didn't want to even bring that up. I used to work for at your fucking company.
Wow,
20 years ago.
You've worked all the places.
I did valet parking for Pacific Bells.
Fuck you, white guy. Pay for your goddamn parking.
Exactly what
you
did.
You don't get shit for free. Your white privilege doesn't work here.
It's exactly
your ass back to the suburbs.
That's exactly what she's saying. So that's why I just went ahead and fucking paid it. So then I decided I'm going to go to Jim Boy's Taco. All right. And there's the one in Midtown on the edge of Midtown, right? It's like the first Sacramento location that ever opened, I guess. That's what they told me.
What's really funny is there's allegedly one opening right there at DoCo someday. Right.
Yeah, someday.
It's taking more time to build that Jim Boy's than it did to build the arena.
It's almost up. It's almost finished. So anyhow, so it might be because of this. So I went there, and I've been getting this fucking thing on my phone for these two things that Jim Boy's does. One was a brisket taco. All right. And I was like, oh, I want to try a brisket taco. That sounds fucking delicious. I'll try that. And then the other thing was this burrito with taquitos in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've had a burrito with taquitos in it, but that was in San Diego. And I didn't know, like, it's like one of those things that you find at a hole in the wall Mexican restaurant that does stuff that's a little crazy sometimes. So I was super fucking excited about this. Well, I get up there and I order it, and the woman's like, doesn't know what I'm fucking talking about. And I finally get up there and I'm like, well, it says like, on like, she's like, oh, well, we're the original ones. So we just have the stuff that's like originally on the menu at this one. So, and I was like, oh, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? What the absolute fuck? Like, you're Jim Boy's fucking tacos. You're like, how do you not have all the same stuff at all the fucking Jim Boy tacos? And how do you like, oh yeah, well, we just stick with the original menu. We don't get the new stuff. Like, then have that, like, say original, like, don't call it, like, you should, I should know. I should have known, like, you should have let me as the customer know. Like, they made it begrudgingly, and they didn't even make it right. Like,
You won't ask for that again.
Well, not from that fucking place. It may be brought, not from fucking, I mean, I honestly, it was okay. It was okay Mexican. Like, there's definitely other choices that are better than Jim Boy's.
I believe well, that is their
motto. Jim Boy's is okay Mexican.
That's their motto. Jim Boy's, okay Mexican.
So anyhow, yeah. I mean, you're much better going off from Carolina's.
There's plenty of really authentic Mexican places around, if that's what you're after.
I wanted to try it because I knew that it was like an original staple of the area. Sure. And I'd never really given them a fair shake.
Mm.
And I thought I would because why not? I was already having $10 additional that I had to pay to get out of that fucking parking structure. $10 fucking dollars.
So you got
to
blame that on the Mexicans too, huh?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, like, that was just fucking kind of shitty. Like, and then to say, like, then to make me feel like I'm doing something wrong or ordering something wrong. I guess that's the thing that makes me upset is that, like, it makes me feel like I'm being inconsiderate ordering something.
They were like, go home, fat boy. You don't need this shit anyway.
It's not very nice, Cream. It's not very nice.
Well, and if you know where you're more trapped than trying to get out of that parking garage, it's that drive through at that Jim Boy's.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's no getting out once you're in there.
No way.
Absolutely no getting out of there. All right. Well, Jason, you had so many grievances that I'm going to pass because I don't need
to. Sorry.
That's okay.
I did see Stuber.
How was that? Was that what you went to see?
Yeah, that's what I went
was
to
it,
see.
Was it worth all of the hassle?
It was fine.
Oh,
it was fine. I mean,
was it as good as the Mexican at Jim Boy?
Actually, you know, the shredded beef taco was pretty delicious. It wasn't that bad.
All right. So moving on. Headline, Tennessee police warn flushing drugs down the toilet could create meth gators. He's raised in the
swamp. Get the fuck out of here.
Loretto, Tennessee, a police department is warning people to stop flushing drugs down their toilets or sinks out of fear they could create meth gators. The Loretto Police Department recently posted the ominous Facebook warning after officers found a suspect unsuccessfully trying to flush meth and paraphernalia at a home. He was arrested, but police say this is becoming an issue because flush drugs could end up in retention ponds for processing before they're sent downstream, saying our sewer guys take great pride in releasing water that's cleaner than what's in the creek, but they're not really prepared for meth. Ducks, geese, and other fowl frequent our treatment ponds, and we shudder to think what one all hyped up on meth would do. So hey, meth heads, when we bust down your door, don't flush your drugs.
No, just swallow them.
Because think about this. What will happen? Here's the really scary thought. A swan on meth.
That's fucking...
Because swans are the biggest asshole in the bird world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, geese. Get some geese.
On meth? Absolutely not. Law enforcement said if the meth made it far enough, gators could end up consuming it in Shoal Creek in the Tennessee River. And they've had enough methed up animals in the past few weeks without our help.
Jesus.
Experts say animals can suffer the effects of drugs. I don't know where that came from. While Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission said flushing drugs down the toilet is a real concern, it cannot comment on the effects on the wildlife. So, I mean, honestly, I think the real thing is let's avoid the meth gator if we can. And junkies, when the police kick down your door, just let him arrest you with all of the stuff on you. It's better. It's better for everybody.
Better that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. All right. The next thing I want to talk about is something that came up on Twitter. It's what is the worst career advice you ever got? So while you guys sort of ponder that, let's go through some of the things that psychologist Adam Grant got in his query to prove that not all advice is good advice. He posted, "What's the worst advice for your career you've ever received? Mine, don't waste your time helping others. Drop 90% of your projects because you can only do one at a time, and don't write a book." Here are some of the responses he got. Don't go backpacking after your master's. I'm so happy I did. And don't spend too much time on your PhD. I should not have rushed and spent that extra year on my PhD instead. Somebody else said you should be working at minimum 80 to 100 hours a week. That's bad advice again. More bad advice. You need a PhD or master's to do your career goal. Monica Lewinsky weighed in with, an internship at the White House will be amazing on your resume.
Burn.
That's me. Ill as long as you don't go home with spooge on your dress.
Mary Fernando said, worst career advice I ever received, choose the path and don't get distracted. My distractions, children, child physician, advocacy, and writing have become the most fulfilling things I've ever done. So it goes on from there. Nessa Carlson said, you have to be a bitch if you're a woman in organic chemistry. That was her bad career advice that she got. Someone named Jen Heemstra, her worst career advice, don't get too ambitious, don't spend too much time on education, and don't treat your group members as colleagues. Jordan says, stay at a job for a decade and work your way up. You need that stability to be a success. He said, instead, I've chased passion and taken an incredible risk to do what I love. I've advanced further than I ever could at that job. Years later, old coworkers are still in the same role. Dave Doyle, his worst career advice, don't take a job on the internet. It's a fad. Stay in newspapers. So worst career advice, Jason, what's the worst career advice you ever got?
Man. I don't know if it's the worst career advice I ever got, but I would say watching how my father handled HR with his company, I never really got much career advice, growing up. And when I got into jobs that it had, I don't know, man. I really haven't had much career advice. They weren't really handing out career advice when I was at USAA. Mm-hmm. Wasn't what they were doing. They're like, join Toastmasters, you'll get head. And that wasn't the case, but I don't regret doing Toastmasters. I got something out of it.
Touched a guy's balls at Hebrew school once.
I wouldn't have commented because I don't feel like I've ever gotten, or if I have gotten bad career advice, I just didn't listen.
Kareem, what's the worst career advice you ever got?
Oh shit. I'm trying to think. Probably something that my last boss did. That got him fired.
here's my issue with bad career advice. So I worked in media for 20 plus years. I worked in radio and then worked in TV until the end of November of last year, when my job was made to disappear like a David Copperfield illusion. Here's the thing. The worst, I saw people doing things and I went, that is a terrible idea. And I would see people do stuff. And the people that were the most protective, so I think the advice, and no one ever gave this to me personally, maybe they did, was don't share too much of what you know.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that shit.
Because, it's terrible advice because the people who try to hold on to that stuff that they know, they're like, oh, only I know this. So if they need me, they don't need you. And the people who get let go very often, are the people that are like that, because people come around and go, why are they hiding this? Why does only one person know this?
Yeah. Part of it is one of the things, it's good advice, but it's kind of bad advice too, is make yourself indispensable. But part of that is you end up where you can't advance because they need you in the role that they have you in.
No one is indispensable. And that's the fact. And I will tell everybody that. No one is indispensable, because one day someone will pull you into a fucking conference room and tell you that your job doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Because they don't need that. Oh, we made the decision that your job doesn't exist anymore. And it's nothing you did.
Yeah.
It's nothing you did wrong. You've done great. We just decided your job doesn't exist anymore.
And part of it ends up with that shit being somebody up top who doesn't know what the fuck you do in the first place decided that they could do it without you.
Well, and the other thing that it comes in about is, as you go through year to year in a lot of businesses, the security of the positions in different departments are dependent upon how much your immediate supervisor is willing and able to fight for their people.
Right.
And when you get a supervisor who isn't willing to fight for their people, that their first priority is covering their own ass and not protecting the integrity of the department that they run, that's when you start to get people losing jobs that don't exist anymore. That is. And yeah. I went through in 2008, there were huge layoffs in TV across the board. Lots of people lost their jobs. There were places that did away completely with their marketing departments. NBC closed their marketing departments at their stations all over the country, and they hubbed them out of like single locations. And then they went back on that decision because it's a terrible idea. But you go through all of that and you see all of that. But the thing that really struck me about that is no one is indispensable. And if you think you are, you're only fooling yourself. And the other thing is, there are exceptions to this. But if you work for a large corporation and you're of the mindset that corporation cares about you, you're probably a little bit delusional about that.
Yeah.
There are some that do. There are some with great corporate cultures who do care about their employees. And my wife is lucky enough to work for one of them. And they're very big about what their corporate culture is. They do things like value matching to make sure that as best they can, the people that they have working there have values that match the corporate culture.
Yeah.
And if that's not where you're working, there's probably no loyalty to you.
Right. And especially if you work for a big corporation, it depends on the people that they bring into, the new people that they bring into. If they're not invested in the culture, then they can just screw up your work culture.
Right. And the other thing is, if you go on an interview and you ask people, what's the culture in this organization, and they don't have an answer for you, it means they do not have a culture, and that is probably going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I think I remember what the worst advice was. It was when I was working for a rent-to-own center.
I think you could stop there, but go on.
Yeah. And a guy told me to stop being a pussy and just do my fucking job. When I voiced complaints about having to take a woman whose husband was had left her. She was in 29. This was in 29 Palms. Her husband had left her for another woman, left her in 29 Palms because he was in the military, and I was there to repossess her refrigerator. So I had to take her refrigerator and put all her food with her three kids all running around into a cooler. And then like dump all the ice out into the machine into it and then take the refrigerator. And then when I voiced concerns about that type of doing that type of thing, I was told to shut up and don't be a fucking pussy and do my job. I didn't come back to work the next day.
That's probably for the best.
That's that kind of business.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Home Alone Florida edition. A man left two children, one of whom suffers from brain damage and is severely autistic, home alone early on Friday while he spent 4 hours at a Florida strip club.
Yeah, get it, Dad!
Calvin Dwayne Juice, who's 38, has been charged with a pair of felony child neglect counts in connection with his late night excursion to the Four Play Gentlemen's Club in St. Petersburg, which is about 9 miles from his residence where he was supposed to be watching the kids. A criminal complaint does not reveal his relationship with the minors whose mother was in Georgia attending her mother's funeral.
It was right down the street.
9 miles right down the street. Cops say that he was left to care for the children during the time. The court filing also does not indicate how police learned that the children were left alone or how long he was supposed to care for them. Now, he admitted to leaving the children home alone while he was at the strip club, where he consumed 4 or 5 Jack and Cokes. He reportedly acknowledged that the children were unable to care for themselves, especially in the event of an emergency. Police said one of the children suffers from brain damage and is severely autistic and physically disabled. And when cops checked on him, the victim was located in his room in a urine-filled diaper. The victim's age was redacted from the complaint, is nonverbal, and needs constant supervision. The other child, the girl, is also unable to care for the victim nor herself. He was released from the Pinellas County Jail after posting $5,000 bond. Judges ordered him to have no contact with the children. He told police he works for the VA hospital. He's an Army vet who's been stationed at Fort Stewart in Georgia. A vehicle maintenance supervisor, he was last promoted in late 2016 to Sergeant First Class. We've said it before, not everybody in the military is a hero.
No.
Some people in the military are assholes.
Man, that dude just could not fucking cope. He's like, didn't realize this shit was going to be this fucking out of control, man. I need to go get a fucking drink now.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't handle this kid. It just got too real for him too quick.
Yeah. I need to know more about their relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, because going and going to the strip, you don't just decide, I don't know. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
I think you might be.
He's just a fucking dirtbag.
He's Sergeant Dirtbag.
Sergeant Dirtbag. But at the same time, I have to feel that he was just so fucking not deal with the situation. It was like, I had no idea it was going to be like this, man. I need a fucking drink right now.
Well, yeah, it'll be great in combat when he feels like that. Oh, hey, I can't handle this combat. I think I'm going to go to the strip club.
No, I get it. But dealing with severely handicapped kids, which I did for a summer, can be very, very harrowing.
I'm not disputing that.
So if you had never done that before and it was sprung on you, because it doesn't say that he was living, this was a normal situation for him. You might not know how to deal with it after a day or two. You might be like, I can't fucking, I need a fucking drink. Yeah. But he could have gotten a drink at his house.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what you don't do? You don't leave the kids to fend for themselves. You call, here's what you do. You go on something
I need a drink and some titties.
You go on care.com, get somebody to come over.
Yeah.
And then you go look at titties.
Yeah. No, you get somebody to come watch the kids for sure.
I need some drinks and some titties.
All right. Meanwhile, in Florida. Main Street
USA. Forget Main Street USA. This is the real Disneyland.
Let the celebration begin.
Welcome to the weird and wonderful town that Disney built.
The heart of everything we'll be doing in Disney World will be our experimental prototype city of tomorrow.
Celebration was designed as the ideal American small town, but it wasn't quite the happiest place on earth.
Celebration, Florida, wholesome town built by Disney. 2 violent deaths this week.
And its bizarre history is far from a fairy tale.
Jesus.
Disney's master plan was enforcing safety through Orwellian control.
The nice places have controls in America, but this has more controls. Neighbors, they don't want the Unabomber next door, or some guy decides he's going to paint his house purple. There are plenty of controls here, but I don't think that they are frightening controls.
All it takes is faith and trust.
homeowners had to agree to strict regulations.
If there's dirt on the walls of the house, it must be power washed. If it gets worn away, then it's time to paint. They're very strict. They want the community to look good at all times.
Residents were even taught how to be an ideal Disney local.
It set up a series of workshops for future residents to learn how to act as good citizens.
I know some people now who are going to be living in Celebration.
Good morning!
Morning!
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
And their children were taught through experimental education. 80 kids per class, all from various grades, with up to 3 teachers. The school principal quit in the first year.
Even miracles take a little time.
Blood and truth.
You will not have a crime problem, and I believe if there is any such problem that they will address it.
In 2010, Celebration witnessed its first murder.
At this time, we are investigating it as a suspicious death.
She and other neighbors are hoping there's not a killer lurking in their quiet community.
Everyone knows everyone. It's just a small town feel.
Days later, its first shootout and suicide.
Another resident killed himself yesterday in an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound after he fired at deputies. There was no connection between the two cases.
There's then no connection.
There's the death pond.
Tourists coming off of I-4 and pulling onto World Drive wouldn't even see the signs for Celebration Boulevard and literally just drive right into the pond thinking that the road continued. So this is the new wall Disney put in after they started finding bodies in the pond.
4 people drowned before any type of barrier was created. Disney sold most of its stake in the town in 2004.
This is real life, real mortgages, real jobs. I think people came here thinking pixie dust would be sprinkled and their life would be perfect.
Yeah, I think not.
So Disney World has creeped out the Australians.
It creeped me out when I went there too, goddammit.
Oh, yeah, so that's about Celebration, Florida, Disney's perfect little creepy town. So
I've heard about that town before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But man.
Right? It's weird, right?
Yeah.
All right, now real quickly, it's time for some llama stories. And I don't know why llama stories were such a big deal this week. But if you were on FARC at all this week, huge number of llama stories, including at UC Berkeley. They've got an unusual way to take the edge off before finals. The Guardian was granted exclusive access to a llama petting session. Students flocked to UC Berkeley's Memorial Glade for a llama-palooza, a human-llama social occasion on a sunny campus lawn. The 8 animals were scattered throughout the crowd, munching grass while adoring masses petted, fed, and photographed them under the supervision of trained student volunteers. The semesterly event is intended to help Berkeley students relax before the tests, and for many it works. Grace Park, a junior, had an exam that very day, but her interactions with the animals left her feeling significantly less stressed. She said, "It's very wholesome," added Maisel Miharaja, who's also a junior. And Claire Mancia, who's a business major who graduates this year, launched Llamapalooza a year and a half ago. The Guardian was granted exclusive access to her final event as a student as she sought to avoid the heavy press presence of previous semesters, saying, "When you're around a llama, you become very calm and at peace. Any reputation the animals have for spitting was undeserved," she noted. "Such behavior is reserved for inter-llama disputes." When it comes to humans, you'd have to really agitate and be in super in its face and irritate it for llamas to spit at you.
Mm.
That's not all, though. School children in Great Britain enjoyed one of their most memorable lessons when 2 llamas from Llama Karma Cafe were brought into their classroom. Cuba and Bilby visited pupils to teach them about things like geography, business, and animal care.
Oh my gosh. What's up with all the llama stories, bro?
And finally, in Altamont, New York, one local farm is changing lives one llama at a time. The story behind Winspaka Farm, situated on 30 acres, Terry Conroy and her 26 llamas, including newborn Diggory Kirk, call the farm home. They offer private farm tours and, most popularly, walking with the llamas, an opportunity that allows visitors of all ages to guide a llama along a trail. Now, from gentle nose kisses to llama selfies, the experience is by appointment only. And to book an appointment, you have to visit their website.
Wow.
It's a lot of llama stuff. Just saying. Before we move forward, I want to, speaking of visiting websites, if you're interested in having your own podcast and we can help you out, go ahead and hit up darlingnewmedia.com. You can shoot me an email. It's darlingnewmedia@gmail.com, and we can talk about some of the options for that, where you could record your podcast right here in the same studios where we are sitting right now. We have two of them.
Boom.
Two beautifully appointed podcasting studios right here in Sacramento, in the beautiful Arden Arcade area. And we have free parking, too.
Free parking.
That's right. You won't get stuck like Jason having to pay for parking.
That's right.
We'll take care of you. There's a lesson in everything, isn't there?
You don't even have to bring it inside.
It's true. It's all very true. No validating necessary. And plenty of dining options here on the beautiful Howe Avenue corridor.
Yes.
Everything from a family-friendly Cracker Barrel all the way to Twin Peaks and everything in between right here on the strip that is Howe Avenue.
Oh, everything in between.
Everything in between. Yeah. We're actually between the two of them.
Yeah. Oh.
I will say this. The billionaire, if you do go to Twin Peaks, the billionaire's bacon is a delight.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic appetizer. I'm not going to lie. That's what it is. All right. You know what? Let's wrap this thing up and get out of here.
Let's do it.
Leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Dateline Presque Isle, Maine, which is way up there. Maine Potato Board has announced the Chandler family of DC Farms in Mapleton as the 2019 Farm Family of the Year. Darren, along with his brother David, farm primarily in Mapleton and Castle Hill. Darren and David's father, Daryl Chandler, is retired but still available with advice and a keen view of the family history in the region. Now, Darren and David are sixth generation growers in the family. Following their father, Daryl, their grandfather, Forrest, great-grandfather, CGR, as well as those coming before. Forrest Chandler in particular was well known throughout the county and the country, having graced more than one industry publication, as well as being on the cover of Country Gentleman in 1950. Mm. Kareem, have you ever been on the cover of Country Gentleman?
I have not.
Now, Forrest lived to be 100 and will be proud to see his independent and progressive family members continuing his legacy. Darren lives just up the road from the homestead with his wife Terry and sons Hunter, who's 13, and Parker, who's 9. David lives in the original Forrest Chandler home. David's son Joshua works full-time on the farm, and son Zachary is employed elsewhere. He said, "Fuck your potatoes, Dad." Daryl and his wife Marilyn also live just across the lawn from the original home. Darren and David farm 1,700 acres. They raise 500 acres of potatoes for processing and another 1,200 acres for grains. The family was selected McCain Foods Champion Growers in 2016 and 2017.
That's a lot of taters.
It is. Now, for the last decade and more, the Chandlers have subscribed to a three-year rotation plan. It's exciting. We've seen what the program provides us with. Not only does it make it healthier for the soil, we've seen our yields increase and the quality of our crops raised to a challenging standard. And what's good farming practices are all about. We're good stewards of the land, as the old saying goes. Take care of your land because they aren't making any more. Now, Darren attributes good planning by his father and grandfather in acquiring farmland in proximity to land already owned in the family, allowing him to farm his needed acres without a lot of time traveling. Now, Darren is optimistic about the future of the Maine potato industry. He noted that today's growers are using technology to improve their efficiencies and to support and advance the industry in whatever they can, saying shared knowledge and skills will benefit all involved in the Maine potato industry, whatever role they play. Now, as for any bits of advice for younger growers, Darren said, stay healthy, take care of yourself. It can consume you, but don't take it home. Remember how you feel as you operate your tractor all alone out in the field in control. We're lucky. Being a potato grower is not just a job, it's a way of life. Appreciate your opportunity. And Darren added, my family and I are honored to represent the Maine potato industry's many family farms. It's my pleasure to accept and share this recognition with my brother David and our family. The Chandler family are great representatives of the Maine potato industry. That's from Donald Flannery, executive director of the Maine Potato Board.
Why does it always have to be like an Irish guy?
Ha ha.
Flannery.
We will enjoy sharing this well-deserved recognition with Darren, David, and the entire Chandler family. So there's some small town news for you.
Wow.
Small town tater news.
There's a thousand words on potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good article. Good advice. Remember how you feel when you're out alone on the tractor.
Shit, I had flashbacks.
I kind of did too. How I felt out alone on the tractor was, Christ, I can't wait till I can get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. We were never really alone because there were three of us and we were usually doing something together.
Mm.
So one was driving the tractor and the other two was baling hay.
Yeah.
And then when it came to potatoes, we actually had to dig them suckers by hand.
Oh, see, we didn't have potatoes. We're just dealing with hay for the cattle, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, I was just sanding baseboard.
Yeah, be glad. be glad. Getting hay in your socks sucks ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it itches like a motherfucker.
Luckily, I had asthma really bad and would have died, so.
Oh, yeah,
even if I didn't live there.
Yeah, you would have died in the field because asthma, schmasthma, get your ass out in the field.
They wouldn't have, but yeah, I get it.
They would have.
No, they would not have. I would have died. They would have let me die then.
It's sad about little Jason. You know, we lost him when he was out in the field working.
Yeah.
He was a fighter. He was a fighter.
Yeah, because don't think that didn't happen in my childhood where people tried faith healing me. I mean, I've had it all, it would have happened once, and then whoever the mom was would have been like, you're not doing that to my son, and then I would have been the pussy, like, the way I was. It's cool, though. I get it.
Hey, at least you got those baseboards nice and smooth.
That's right.
That's all that matters. All right, everybody, have a great one. We'll be back, I don't know, next week's the week you guys are gone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there'll be something.
There'll be something.
There'll be something for you. Yeah. Trust me. There'll be some sort of entertainment for you next week. Jason won't be a part of it, though. Kareem may or may not be a part of it.
Yeah.
We will see.
I'll be in my own small town.
Jason gets to see his family again soon.
Yeah.
I expect many small town stories coming back from upstate New York. All right, everybody. Have a good one. Take care, and we'll see you next time on the WTH podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm going to hell.